The Trump administration is considering new sanctions against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Opposition leader Juan Guaido returned to Venezuela this week after traveling to other Latin American countries. Maduro had threatened to arrest Guaido for violating a government travel ban, but he has made no moves to do so. The U.S. and about 50 other countries recognize Guaido as Venezuela's legitimate leader, but Maduro is not giving up the presidency and still has the support of the military. So what does all this mean for the 32 million people still living in Venezuela? Let's hear from one of them. Elimar Gutierrez is an English teacher and translator in Barquisimeto, Venezuela. She's on Skype. Elimar, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
So first of all, how are you feeling right now? We've been watching all of the headlines now, Guaido back in the country. What does it feel like to be there?
Well, really, every day it's like a new adventure. You will never know what to expect. There is always something new, always something to struggle with. We watch the news every day, or, well, not so much the news, because right now our national television doesn't offer much information. But we are like with the Twitter and with Instagram, and that's the way we communicate or receive the information.
What do you mean the national television doesn't offer much information?
Well, there are some restrictions in national television and radio shows also. And actually, right now, they are banning, they have banned to talk about Juan Guaido. They cannot even mention his name.
Mm-hmm. And what about life for you right now? We've been hearing about food shortages and gas shortages and terrible inflation. Just give us a sense of what it is like for you right now in Venezuela.
Yeah, well, I could tell you, for example, last year for us to, you know, to buy groceries for about a week for a family of four, we would spend about $50 each week. And now it's $100 each week. So the prices are increasing not only in our own currency, but also in other currencies. So that's how big the inflation has affected us. Of course, every time the Maduro decides to offer a raise in the minimum wage, well, everything goes up. Because, of course, companies have to adapt to those new costs and payments for their employees.
Is it difficult to find food and supplies?
It's difficult to find food, yeah. And everything here is imported. I'm talking about, like, really basic stuff. I would say, for example, rice and pasta, for instance, or the corn flour that we use for our breakfast, for our national breakfast. So those things have to be imported. And when they are not imported, so at least one of their ingredients or elements are imported. So that always increases the price of things. And that's why also it's hard to find them in big quantities. So you would find queues to find food and to get something. We have an ID, okay? We have every citizen has an ID. So with the last number of your ID, there is a day that you can go to the supermarket and buy something.
Rationing.
That's right. That has been seen a little less this year, yeah, but it's still happening. Last year, 2 years from now was like so strong that even the companies had to let their employees just go whenever they had to go and buy their supplies.
What about getting money out of the bank?
That's a very hard topic. For instance, right now, if you go to an ATM, the top that you could get is 500 bolivares. Transportation fare would be about 200, 300 for just one ride, and that depends also on the area that you live. So in order to get a little more money, you have to go inside the bank, and also you have to state why you're asking for a larger amount of money, what you're going to do with that. So, yeah, it feels like, okay, this is my money. Why am I supposed to tell her what I'm going to do with this? So it doesn't feel well.
And what about politically? You're supporting Guaido?
Yes, I am.
And do you fear repercussions because of that support? Are you scared to talk about that publicly?
Well, yeah, a little bit sometimes. For example, those demonstrations that we have been going to, you have to be really, you know, attentive of the people that surround you, because you never know if they are informants or So yeah, you have to keep an eye on that. And especially younger people that if they are not in a group, they could be taken. Let's say when they are apart from the group, so the police can come and take them just because they were demonstrating.
Hmm. Do you know people who have been taken by the police?
Yeah, actually a neighbor from here, he was taken about 2 years ago. And he cannot leave the country. He has a restriction.
Have you thought about leaving the country?
Well, really, I haven't thought about it because I have all my family here. Well, almost all of them, at least the closest one, my parents. But my sister left in December. I have many cousins and friends also who have left the country. It's really hard for them, too. Actually, my stepson also left recently, about 2 months ago. The difficulty is that for young people to stay here is harder because they try to go to school or the university to find that teachers are gone. There are not enough teachers. So it's really difficult. Some universities right now are using kind of an online system in order to finish their studies. So for a young person just finishing high school, it's hard to find that reality.
But you're basically staying because of your family at this point.
Well, yeah, and because also we have been, I would say, blessed because 2 years now I started working as an online teacher and I had the opportunity to work with an American company. So I'm receiving foreign currency with my payments are like that. So I've been able to sort of deal with the situation and help my family. That's another reason why I'm staying here. But it's hard. It's hard because, for example, to get your groceries, you have to go to several places because not all supermarkets are stocked. So you have to find and go and find your groceries in many different places, let alone finding the cash. Also having to make a line for getting your gas for your car. So it makes it a little complicated.
Do you have hope for Venezuela?
Yeah, I do. Actually, right now we are very hopeful. I think things are going slow but surely. So I think this is something that is going to lead us to another situation, a new situation that is going to be better for us. I think it's going to take a little while, but yeah, I'm full of hope right now.
Do you think that Maduro will step down willingly? Do you think that there will be a war? What do you think will happen?
Yeah, well, that's our idea. That's what they have let us know, that they won't leave the power just like that. So, yeah, that's what we fear, that probably there will be confrontation and civilians could be involved, and that's what we fear, yeah.
How do you feel about the United States' action when it comes to Venezuela, standing by Guaido, recognizing Guaido, and threatening that it may get further involved, even leaving the military option on the table to try to get rid of Maduro?
Our reaction when Trump stated that he was supporting us was very important for us. We know how important the U.S. is in the region, and the actions that they have taken and the support that they have shown, it means that, well, they are doing things very strategically, and they are really involved in this. So that really makes us feel a little more quiet, let's say.
There are some, though, that are worried about U.S. intervention in Venezuela, given the history of U.S. intervention in Latin America in general. Do you have any concerns about U.S. involvement?
Well, the thing is that we have a lot of intervention already. Maduro and Chavez brought a lot of people from different countries, and they are the ones that are occupying even positions that are supposed to be occupied by Venezuelans. So we have Cuban intervention, we have Russian intervention, we have terrorist intervention. So that's kind of ironic for the ones that say that the U.S. are being in our country and, you know, calling them the imperialists.
That is Elimar Gutierrez, who is an English teacher and translator living in Barquisimeto, Venezuela. That's about 5 hours away from Caracas. Thank you so much for joining us and good luck.
Thank you. Anytime.